Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Smarty Pants, the podcast of the American Scholar magazine. I'm your host, Stephanie Bastek. Alain Mabankou has been called the enfant terrible of the Francophone literary world, which was reason enough for me to want to talk to him. He's a Congolese essayist, novelist, and poet with two Booker Prize nominations and a string of darkly funny books to his name. His most recent novel, Black Moses, came out in the States in 2018. And his second novel, Broken Glass, was just re-released in paperback by Soft Skull Press. Broken Glass is the story of a man, also called Broken Glass, who used to be a teacher, but now spends all his days drinking at the bar Credit Gone West in Toussaint, a town in Congo-Brazzaville, also known as the Republic of the Congo. It's a novel that opens a lot of doors in terms of talking about the relationship between fiction and life, different kinds of fiction, but also what it means to be an African or a Congolese or a French writer. Alain Mabankou joins us from UCLA, where he's taught since 2006, to talk about his work. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to start with Broken Glass, just to give listeners a sense of your writing if they haven't read you already. So on the very first page of the novel, Stubborn Snail, who is the owner of the bar Credit Gone West, hands our narrator Broken Glass a notebook and tells him to write a book because, quote, the day when grandmothers reminisced from their deathbeds was gone now. This is the age of the written word. That's all that's left. The spoken word's just black smoke, wild cat's piss. But as that sentence shows, there is a super strong voice on the page and also absolutely no periods. So I was wondering where you'd fit the story. Would you fit it into an oral tradition or a written tradition or somewhere in between?
I think that when I wrote the book, I was targeting to mix the oral literature and the written literature. Usually they say that in Africa, we have a kind of oral tradition. Whatever we're going to say doesn't need to be written. We have the faith because you said something, it's okay. And as a matter of fact, this book is about praising also the written tradition. It's also a continent in which we can have another way of describing things. It's going to be written, it's going to be told, but saying only that Africa is a continent in which we are fed by oral tradition, it's short. I think that we have also the written literature, and that's why Broken Glass was talking about that in that book.
So how do you develop the voices of your narrators? Did Broken Glass, did his voice spring fully formed from your skull, or were there stages in his development? I mean, I can't imagine him ever not being a drunk, but maybe at some point he was less of a scoundrel.
I think that, you see, it's a novel written without a full stop, just commas here and there. I was thinking about someone who is drinking every day in and day out. And when you are drunk, you don't think about punctuation. You have just to talk. You have just to tell your story. And I tried to put it like a kind of symphony in which the guy is talking and talking and talking. But when you go deep, you're going to see that he's talking about literature, he's talking about film, he's talking about culture, he's talking about the life of every day. So the voice in that novel is like the voice of the post-colonial subjects, someone who had the culture between France and Africa, Europe and Africa, and is trying like to mix everything in.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. It's the book is so dense with literary references. You've got the Bible and classics and folktales and Shakespeare. It's like the narrator doesn't even discriminate between what counts as the canon. Is it a commentary on the relationships between languages in the Congo or even between the country and its former colonizer, France, and the rest of the world?
I think the book is touching world literature, because at the same time you can have books, a reference coming from France, from Western civilization, but I have also like quoted or try to make reference to Asian writer like Kenzaburo Oe, like Kawabata from Japan, Russia back then with Boris Pasternak. The list goes on and on. I wanted to have a huge conversation. I wanted to show that even if you are writing from Africa, something which is occurring in a small bar with like poor characters in like this kind of poor country, you can always embrace the world. You can go from the small space to the biggest one. You can reach the world through literature. So I wanted to express with Broken Glass that literature doesn't depend on where you come from. It depends on where do you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of reflected in your own life story, because you're a Congolese writer who moved to France at 22, and you've now taught in Los Angeles since 2006. Mm. So how do you see the many places that you've lived and the many identities that you've worn influencing your work?
I think that the many places I've visited or the many places I've stayed helped me becoming the writer I am today. I was born in Africa, in Congo Brazzaville, speaking French over there. I went to school over there, and then I went to France for the graduate school. I stayed in France for like 17 years before moving to the United States to teach French. So I can like follow this journey in my books, seeing that most of my book have been written in United States of America, but in France. That's a very good experience when you are living in a country. It's not your native language, but you are writing in another language. You're going to be translated later, but you're writing in another language. That gives you like the real distance in order to understand things.
Do you feel like you're writing against a certain tradition of African literature? I mean, how do you feel about your place in the literary constellation? Do you feel boxed in by the categories African writer, Francophone writer, Congolese writer, novelist?
Yeah, but at the beginning, I was thinking that I was writing against some things. But I think that nowadays I'm writing with something. I'm writing with my African background. I'm writing with my migrant background. And at the same time, I don't want people like to categorize me like just an African writer, because I can do more than being just an African writer, because African writers are... African writer is a term defined by people who have an idea of what should African writer write. So I don't want to be defined. I want to create my own way of thinking. And therefore, I'm an African, yes, a writer who embraces the world.
Yeah, I mean, what you said about African writer and African literature being defined by other people is so true, because a lot of the African literature that gets translated into English or marketed in the States tends to be like very serious or very dark or about poor people. And there have always been exceptions, especially in recent times with like Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie and your work. But like my first introduction to the entire canon of a continent was the book The River Between by Ngugi Wa Thiong'o. And I don't think there was a single joke in it.
I think that, yes, African literature is diverse. You can have a writer coming from Nigeria. We talk about Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, but we can talk as well about Deju Cole. We are all African, but we have a lot of differences because of the culture in Nigeria is maybe different from the culture in the Congo, the where you are living, or if you are writing close to the sea, ocean, or close to the bush, or in the desert. It creates something special on you. And that's why I think that we cannot define who is an African writer. Do we gonna just define an African writer because he's from Africa, mainly black, and dealing with African issues? Do we gonna consider like an African living in the United States writing novels? Is he an African writer or a global writer? Or maybe it's better just to say he is a writer coming from Africa. And then he can write about whatever he wants to write.
Do you think that the books coming from Africa or being written, as you say, by writers writing about Africa has gotten better recently? Do you think that African writers are getting their due finally after, you know, being sort of lumped together?
Yeah, I think that it's also the world. The world is changing. We are in the era where population of people are going here and there. We want to get to know more each other. So Africa is not that dark continent, like Conrad said. It's not like the end of the world. We are finding, finally, that our civilization needs African cultures. And therefore, the literature of today need to include African vision of the world. So if we are getting more and more audience, it just also because for a long time, people didn't take care of what we've been talking about. They didn't take care of what we are being through. They were just considering us like the African, like described in the book back then, living in the poverty in the continent, in the dictatorship, and so on and so on. So more and more we need to know what Africa means. And in order to know that, we need to go back to reading the novels.
Do you think that part of the way that you sort of combat that idea of like the dark heart of Africa is through humor? Because your books are so, so funny.
Yeah. I don't blame Conrad for writing The Heart of Darkness. At least I understood how the European was like describing Africa. But at the same time, we know that we needed African voices in order to express what is Africa. We needed to read not only the tourists or the colonizers or the Western population going over there. We needed to listen to the local. We needed to listen to the Africans. And I think that African literature of today has the task of spreading the new image of Africa, which is diverse, which is in contact with the world, which is in contact with the world literature.
So how do you see humor doing that?
You said the comedy, yeah?
Yeah, the jokes, the laughter. I mean, that's also really dark humor, but...
I think that in all my book, I use the comedy. It's a kind of humor. I don't like calculate it before in advance in order to put it here and there. But it came with my own culture because I was raised with the idea that even if you are suffering, you don't need to express what you are going through. You have just to show to the people that you are happy, even if what you are saying is very sad, it's about your life. So all my characters in Broken Glass looks like they have broken lives, but at the same time, they feel better in their world. They have the power to decide whatever they want to do, and they have the power to like not follow what is considered like norms in the society. So I hope that I'm going to keep this kind of comedy, this kind of humor, in order to make the reader feel comfortable. At the same time, you are learning what is happening in Africa. So my novel is about how to find a laugh in the middle of a continent which is supposed to be broken.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of distance, as you mentioned earlier, it seems like a lot of the heart of Broken Glass is about the lives of others, about painting pictures of other people, the other patrons of this bar. And they're really told in their voices. And I can't help but read it as some kind of commentary on how we construct our identities.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes our literature is a literature in which you have to testify. So depicting the lives of the other is very important for me because so far when you were reading African literature, it was always about big engagement. We want Africa free. We want that. We want that. But sometimes you have to describe how people are living and what they're doing.
So like writing the small human stories of individual characters is sort of like writing the small individual stories of African countries instead of a whole continent.
Yeah. I think that by telling the story of individual person, gonna make you reach the story of Africa. So far, we've been like taught about the history of Africa. What about the history of the people living inside? Individual history, not taking them like a global image, but going to the individual troubles in order to express what is Africa nowadays.
So who are your favorite African writers who are doing that now? I'm especially interested in your favorite comic African writers or just your favorite comedies in general?
Yeah. I think that among the African writers I like is Amos Tutuola. When I read The Palm Wine Drinker, I was like stunned to see that you can laugh from the beginning to the end of the novel. At the same time, you are learning what is in Africa, what are the tradition, what is the comedy. Tutuola, Amos Tutuola was the writer from Nigeria who amazed me with that book. And I have a lot of writers, like in France, I have one called Louis Ferdinand Céline to describe. He wrote about Africa in one of his novels, a part of Africa in that novel. And mainly, I read a lot of Latin American writers such as Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Mario Vargas Llosa, and Horacio Quiroga. Those are the writers who accompany me, who are with me day in and day out. They are like my spirits when I'm writing.
We've got links to Alain Mabankou's novel, Broken Glass, and that list of his favorite writers on our episode page, including a link to the full text of Amos Tutuola's novel, The Palm Wine Drinkard. And in digging it up, I stumbled upon the critical reception to that book, which really illustrates a lot of what we were just talking about in terms of how African literature has been imagined both by the West and by Africans themselves over the past century. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care and stay sharp.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.